Hello and welcome to We're Watching What? I'm your host Dana, or the DHK as I'm known, and this week we're discussing the Academy Award nominations for the 95th annual Oscars, some absolutely delightful surprises in there, and a couple of head-scratching ones too. Then we'll quickly talk about A Man Called Otto, which is a film that probably wanted an Oscar, which isn't going to get one, because it wasn't nominated, but that's with Tom Hanks in it. And then finally, we are talking about the first two episodes of The Last of Us on HBO Max. Spoiler alert for A Man Called Otto and for The Last of Us, and without further ado, here's We're Watching What?
We are fresh off the Oscar nominations. Did anyone get up at 5 a.m.?
No.
I don't know. Some people I know had to for work.
So the only reason why I would ever do that is if there was a possibility I might be nominated.
Even then, I think Jamie Lee Curtis posted and it was like afterward, whatever it is. You know, good for her. Get your gym jams on. I am overjoyed by much of it. How are the two of you feeling? And if you haven't listened to this podcast, just to be clear, it's because Everything Everywhere All at Once is leading.
I was like, I thought it was because of Michelle Williams.
You mean Ana de Armas getting her Oscar nod for Blonde?
Yeah, that one was a lot for me. I've been seeing some things like people, I mean, you know, the internet's just ugly, but I've been seeing people like that are irritated about that, taking it out on her, or people who don't like The Whale for reasons, taking it out, like saying, oh, Brendan Fraser, blah, blah. And it's like, okay, but it's not their fault that they're nominated.
Right. Like, everybody else's fault.
Yeah, exactly. No, so, like, that's not, yeah. You know, but I'm just saying, if you're someone who has an issue with either of those films for whatever reasons, or any film, it's like, let's not be mean to the actor.
Yeah.
No, it's the whole Academy that votes. I was quite surprised by Avatar being nominated for Best Picture, I guess.
Once they opened it up to 10, yeah.
Well, they're trying to do ones that people see, right, or care about. And so, because they want people to watch the show.
I figured that would be on there just because the first one was, and it was just this, you know, I don't know. But
yeah, I guess.
But I think it needs to be there? No.
I was excited Triangle of Sadness got so much.
I saw that. Love. I was also very excited. Although
that was great. And
I feel like it's a miss to nominate it and then not nominate Dolly De Leon.
100%. I was like, there's a very distinct snub going on there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I thought the same. I was like, what?
Very confusing.
Because she was amazing.
Because the movie's but she makes the film. Like, you know, it's just.
She makes it. She is just perfect.
But.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was exciting. I, on the train of, and it's, I'm trying not to get sucked up in getting bitter because things are popular and stuff like that, but like I wasn't in love with Elvis, and I thought he was good, but again I thought that he was playing a caricature of Elvis as we know today. I don't think it was like when you actually see Elvis in videos and things like that, it's like the Elvis we think of today is what Austin Butler was doing, and he did that very well.
He's Vegas Elvis, like, is what he is.
Yeah, he's Vegas Elvis. It's like you know, and not to compare it just because, you know, a biopic about a singer, but then when you look at, say, like, I Want to Dance with Somebody, I thought Naomi Ackie was like, she studied Whitney, and she became Whitney without looking a lot like Whitney, actually, mm-hmm. but like became her in ways that I was like, that to me is the kind of performance that I feel a little more kind of like, oh, wow, by, rather than, you know, I mean, this guy got up on the Golden Globes and delivered his Oscars or his Golden Globe speech in the voice of Elvis. It was just kind of like,
I would also like to take this opportunity to point out he is from Anaheim.
Yeah.
Austin Butler is from Anaheim. There's nothing wrong with being from Anaheim.
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw Vanessa Hudgens, I think it was, like, she dated him or something like that. And there was something about, like, some quote about something about his voice.
His vocal coach. Kind of
And she just, like, responded and was just, like, dying or something. Because she's just like, this is so stupid. But, you know. Whatever. No shade to him as a human. I don't know anything about him, so I don't know.
Well,
but
apparently,
I
don't think he treated Vanessa Hudgens well, so maybe shade to him as a human, because you don't deal with our princess switch queen.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't get to do her dirty.
her nominations, you know. And so, I mean, I just mean, I don't have personal experience or knowledge about him, really, so I don't want to be like saying, oh, he's a terrible, you know. But I was salty about Elvis getting nominated. I knew he'd be nominated. I think the very big thing for me was I was very surprised that The Woman King got completely snubbed.
That is what I was going to say.
Yep. Across the board.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yep.
I
think the sad thing about it is they were like, cool, you can only have one black action movie. even though they are not the same movie in any way, shape, or form. They deal with very different things, except for the fact about dealing with like colonizers and stuff like that. But, you know, it's very different context, very different whatever. But I truly feel like this is one of those moments where they're like, well, we can't have two, which is, you know, so upsetting.
Well, and on that note, you know, when you talk about Viola, Naomi Ackie and I Want to Dance with Somebody, and then also like Danielle Deadweiler from Till.
Yeah.
Who I thought was incredible in that film too. On those notes, it's kind of this thing where, you know, historic year for Asian nominations, which is fantastic, but it feels like we had to trade in our Black nominations for them.
Right.
And it's like, why can't we just have one
minority a year gets the spotlight.
Yeah,
you
so this year, like, the Asians can have the Oscars.
Yeah. We've had a couple of years where you know, Hispanic Latinx where has won. It's like there's not the intersectionality is not there yet.
Yeah. It's like we're just trading in one minority for another. And it's just like, this is so stupid. I'm really happy for the minorities that did get nominated.
Right.
I'm really happy about that.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back. And we're back.
I'm also like, why did it have to come at the expense of others? Because I do think there are places where you look at Best Supporting Actress. I, as massive of a Jamie Lee Curtis fan as anybody, I love her. You could have traded her in.
I agree. The biggest relief
in there.
Biggest relief I had this morning was seeing Stephanie Soo's name in there. And
yeah, that was surprising, and I was happy for her.
Because she deserves. She is the. I think she's actually the emotional. Well. It's between her and Key, right? Like, they are the cores of that movie. Obviously, like, you can't have it without Michelle. But if you were looking at who is holding up the other, who is holding up Michelle, it's the two of them. And yes, Jamie Lee Curtis's parts are important, but like, it's a mother-daughter story. So if you were like, not the daughter, they would have been remiss. And I'm so delighted for her.
And that's the thing. I think Jamie did her role amazingly for the role. Like, I don't think it's not that she was like, oh, she could have been better. I thought she was great. But I just think that there were other roles this year, some white, some people of color, that maybe could have been nominated instead of her. But it felt like this thing where you just kind of have to have your quota of white people.
Well, it's like Dolly could have been there.
That's 100%. Dolly made a film, you know, and it's like, so she could
and
have
Jamie
been
Lee
there.
Jamie Lee Curtis was hilarious, you know, but she didn't make the whole film. And,
yeah,
you know,
or even
thought Lashana Lynch.
That's exactly. Yep, Lashana Lynch would have been. Although I feel like you can't. I mean, this is not. It's like if you have Lashana, you need Viola. Like Viola was.
I know, but she should be there. Yeah,
and, she should be and, there. And this is why I have not seen Till Leslie, so I cannot speak to that. But I think there are several spots, and again, not to disparage, not to like blame the people. I'm like, yeah, I'm sorry. I think The Woman King was a much better movie than Blonde was. And to have the spot taken by that is one of the other things is like, you know, I didn't get to hear it on the spot, but the Cate Blanchett's speech at the Critics' Choice Awards where she was like, can we just stop pitting each other against each other, like entertainers against each other for entertainment? I was like, oh, yeah, this is starting to feel, I don't know why this year is. And I think it's because I'm so invested in Everything Everywhere that I'm like, the fact that it can now lose these things, just like, what if we just leave it at this? What if we just go, like, this is the top five of the year. We're good. Like, you know?
I think it's partly okay. Yeah. Cause I feel that too. And maybe, yeah. Okay. So you're saying you're more invested than usually in it. Okay. Sure. But at the same time too, I think that's also a commentary on, I think a lot of people are slightly more invested than usual because a lot more movies are kind of being in the talks that are not necessarily just your Oscar bait, I guess, which is kind of fun. I mean, what are there, like, three blockbusters on the Best Picture shortlist, which or on nominees, which is like, you know, I mean, whether they did all deserve to be there or not, it's something that is not all that common. You know, we've got.
Well, yes. No,
Angela, I mean, first Marvel nomination, you know,
that Best Picture became slightly less.
It did. But I think that also happened as, you know, we started having so many Marvel films and all these things also where some things sneak in there, but it's still like. Like, if Everything Everywhere All at Once actually wins, which I think it very well could and should at this point, if it does, that's like a huge upset considering what the Oscars are usually looking at.
Absolutely. You know what I mean? Absolutely. It's like, but by the same token, I'm like, cool, I am looking at something like Banshees or Tar could also do it. And I was like, yeah, those are much more typical. And so to be like, oh, we got so close.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think that will. make me more crestfallen, which is, it doesn't, it's not about me, you know, but like, yeah. That's just the stakes have raised because we are now so much, are so much closer. And I'm just like,
yeah,
like I will be so sad if it does not turn out.
Totally. And you mentioned Andrea Riseborough, I was actually really excited about that one because she is, I saw that film and she's like insane. She's so good in that movie. And I love her. And I thought it was kind of fun. Granted, she's a white woman, but I thought it was kind of fun to see that, like, this thing that was getting next to no press, like, you can still finagle your way in. It's like, because these companies spend so much money on these campaigns to get their films and their actors nominated, mm-hmm. that it was kind of fun to see, like, an upset like that already just in the nominations. I don't think she'll necessarily win it, but I was happy to see her there. I think that Michelle Williams is great. I thought she was great in Fablemans. I don't think she needs to be there. I don't think Ana de Armas needs to be there, personally. Mm-mm. You know, I'd put Viola in there. I thought that those two were a little kind of like, okay, we don't really need it. But I do truly think it is Michelle Yeoh's year. The only one that I could imagine would be Kate. But I think
it's between her and Kate.
That's what I mean.
Her and Kate. And again, I think this is going to be very interesting because, like, I like a handshake bet against somebody at Critics' Choice. I was like, there's no way because, like, Colin was winning all the stuff. I was like, oh, it's going to be Banshees. And then it was everything. I was like, oh. But I think the thing is, like, voting bodies are so disparate as well that this is why the Oscars will always surprise me in some ways because there is so much cloak and dagger and secrecy and mm-hmm. you know, even the most probably – not bribery. It's not bribery. I want to be very clear. It's not bribery. But, you know, there's just like weird industry things that are hard to unravel that, you know, they are not as motivated to make progress on. That's what I'll say.
I would agree with that. And I think, yeah, I think it's between the two of them. But I think I would love to see, obviously, Michelle take it. I think I said this to you when we were talking about briefly when I mentioned I had seen Tar back then, but that she was so good in it that I don't think she needs another. I don't think she needs it. Of course she doesn't, but it's one of those ones where if you were looking at it completely objectively, she's the only one I can see where I would be like okay with winning other than Michelle, but I would rather Michelle won clearly. You know what I'm saying? But
yeah, like, I think I cannot be objective about it. I recognize I'm incapable of being objective about it at this point.
Oh, I get that. Yeah. I love Kate and I want all good things for her always, but I would wager that honestly, if you asked her, she probably would say, give it to Michelle too. You know what I mean? Cause it's just like, I think everyone.
She was the one who was like, hey, can we stop?
Yeah.
And you know, there are certain award shows where it is like, oh, okay. It's separated out by comedy drama. And I'm like, I don't, you know, what? So multiple people can win. I'm like, yay, that's great. But you know, the Oscars don't do that because God forbid we honor something popular in a comedy, even though I don't think everything ever wears a comedy.
Well, no.
Yeah. But it was like, yeah, they submitted because that way they didn't have to go through that fight. But again, the politicking of it is just so convoluted and so stressed out, y'all.
Yeah. And then I watched A Decision to Leave and I was surprised that that was left off of the Best Foreign.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you want to talk about popular movies that are left out. RRR was the one that I was like, what happened here?
Yeah, it's interesting. It's almost like the mania happened a little too late for it. You know,
I think it's going to win song. And they're like, we know it's good. We're fine with it winning song. That's okay. And therefore, we like don't need to bother with everything else.
Yeah. Which is interesting because it's such a sensation now, but I thought Decision to Leave was quite good, and I was surprised because it's one of those movies where you're watching it, it's like impossible to come out of it and be like, well, that wasn't very good. It's just good movie, good acting, and you know, and that surprised me. I also was a bit surprised that All Quiet on the Western Front, I think it's double nominated, right? Like it's Best mm-hmm. Foreign, but also Best Picture. I thought that was surprising. I watched that also randomly, and I liked it. I liked it fine. I'm not a big war movie guy. And I say that, and that is just, I often get kind of bored in them. And I did a little bit, but I thought it was decent. I was like, okay, yeah. I end up kind of compartmentalizing most war-centric movies in the same spot and just kind of being like, oh yeah, it's one of those.
I think it's because it's hard. War movies usually follow like a strict formula.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of formulas I love. Like I love a rom-com formula. I love, you know, but I don't like a sports movie. formula very much, and I don't like a war for, you know, war
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's like, it's
for whatever reason, like, those are just the ones that don't speak to me personally. But, you know, I like some of the other formulas, so.
And for me, it's not, and I'm not saying that it's actually, you've seen one, you've seen them all, but they do start, because also the volume of them that get produced, I think is what it comes down to. Mm-hmm. It becomes hard to distinguish. And I would say, for me, the same thing goes for singer biopics. And that's why Elvis is like, whatever. Like, I don't think it did anything to innovate on the form. Not that it has to necessarily, but I'm like, okay, then why are you saying this is better than all the, I don't know if either
of you saw. It just infused itself with Baz Luhrmann-isms. And,
yeah.
You know.
Did either of you see like Dewey Cox, the Walk Hard story when it came out or whatever it's called?
No.
Yeah. Oh, I know, Jackie, it's the like least you movie probably that, but I think it's perfectly embodying the formula of a music biopic, right? Mm-hmm. It's, and I was like, yep, if you want it, that's them poking fun at it. And they did it perfectly as a satire.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. I thought that was pretty funny. Because I actually, I'm one of the ones who, like, I like Walk the Line. And yeah,
you I do like the, I like Walk out. The Line, too. I really do.
Oh, yeah, I cannot stand it. That. But not because, I just don't like the two actors in it.
Yeah,
no,
see, I love them. I mean, but, I like that one. But so Dewey Cox, I thought was pretty funny. Because it was like, I felt like it was kind of responding to Walk the Line in a lot of ways. But yeah, I agree. It's another one of those types where, you can do it in a way, and like with all these things, you can do it in a way that really resonates with me, or like it's like, oh, great, but a lot of times, they feel kind of dime a dozen.
Yeah, and again, the same can be said of any genre movie. It's just like I understand why you compartmentalize it, because it's just like, yeah, as humans, we categorize things, and then if it's already not inherently,
and to be fair to war movies, to us, I guess, not to war movies, they're all about the fucking world wars, and yes, like how many movies do we need to have about the world wars?
Yep.
Like, it's just, it's
never done that.
Treading, territory. Like, at least the biopics are about different people every time, you know?
Most of the time.
Most of the time.
You're right.
Like, how many Elvis biopics has there been? I will say one of the other surprise categories for me was animation, just to see the Sea Beast sneak in there. Not sneak,
yeah,
but it's
that one. Yeah.
I feel like this is one of those ones where, again, much like what happened to something like The Woman King, where they're like, you can only have one of the thing, where they're like, you can only have one stop motion animation one, and it's Pinocchio versus something like A Wendell and Wild, which, you know, I thought was, I think they're all great, but I was like, oh, I would have actually expected, you know, the pedigree of that one to jive more, but maybe just people don't know who's involved in it.
And, you know, you know my feelings about Pinocchio, but I actually enjoyed Wendell in the Wild a little bit more than Pinocchio, I think. So I would have, which I think we talked about this too with the Glows, but I kind of think Pinocchio is just default going to win.
I just hate it because I love Turning Red, like hardcore. I think that movie is so good. And I just think it's very upsetting. It's getting kind of forgotten about.
Again, it's an odd year. I'm excited. I'm cautiously optimistic is what I will say, waking up to the Oscar nods.
Yeah, there's a bit of a relief, probably, especially because, I mean, I was happy to see the nominations, but since you're so invested in it, it's like a relief that, like, okay, this stuff was manifested. It is at least written in stone that they are nominated. Now we need the wins. But
we have a month. Yeah. I have a month to get through. And everything else in the middle, like, almost doesn't matter because at this point, like, well, I don't know. It's I immediately got an email afterward, a couple hours after, for an Angela Bassett event, and I was like, "Well, I'm not an Academy voter. I want to be very clear." But there, I was like, "Oh, they are still pushed. They're like, there is time to move the needle, potentially, or they see there is time to move the needle, and now they're courting all the like in betweens, even though a lot of stuff already like went out. So it's going to be a very odd month.
It is going to be, and I think that Angela very well could win it.
I think so too.
My question is, Will they give it to Key and to Michelle? Because they should, but will they give it to both? You know what I mean? Or is it like, will one of them get, you know?
And then,
I
did sweat a little bit when I saw the double Banshees in supporting. Mm-hmm. But I was maybe they'll split it.
That's what I was wondering.
Yeah.
But We'll see. Because Key, to me,
the only lock of that group, but I'm like, yeah. Mm-hmm. And Judd Hirsch was a weird. I thought he was fine in it, but I was just like, he's weird. This is like a Judy Dench Shakespeare in Love, like 5 minutes, like, hello.
Yeah. It was strange. It was like, you know. Yeah. And not like Viola in Doubt, where it was like, oh, I'm in this for 10 minutes, but I stole the entire film. It was like,
Movie rested on this like conversation I had.
Right.
Because there has been like very short performances that have been very lasting. You know?
Oh, 100%. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would say they are not.
That one to me wasn't, though. I wouldn't think.
No, but they're not present here. But I would actually say two of them belong to the same actress this year. And for me, it is Samantha Morton, who for She Said and The Whale showed up. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, she did. Yeah. She really did. She did.
Yeah. And I was a little sad that She Said didn't seem to be for anything. And that's another one where, like, you know, not that it needed, but I thought that there were some really strong performances, Samantha being one of the standouts. But I am very happy that Hong Chau got nominated for The Whale, because I was I did not think she was going
to. I was so excited about Hong Chau getting nominated for The Whale. I was like, oh, because it's such a good. Anyway. All the performances in that movie are incredible, like we've talked about. I'm just saying that, like, it was one of those performances that can be easily overlooked, I think, because it was subtle and it was so.
Well, I only heard talk of Brendan. So I was like, what about Hong? So I was happy.
I woke up and all I saw was, oh my God, like, this is the moment for Asians. And so I just saw that Hong was nominated. And for whatever reason, in my mind, we know how I feel about The Whale. So I was like, oh my God, did she get it for the menu? How exciting.
I would have been excited for this.
I would have been more excited for the menu. That's me. I'm just happy to see her nominated. Like, that's, you know.
I was a little sad that the menu got, you know, almost nothing, if anything.
Did we get anything?
I don't remember if it got anything at all. Yeah. Because I got nothing. One of my favorites this year. But I was happy for Triangle of Sadness because that was.
Unexpected. Unexpected. Yeah. But it's going to be a very exciting and stressful lead up.
Yeah,
just for me and everyone involved and nominated.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, though. I'm hoping it'll be
for me. No.
Yeah, no, I'm hoping overall it'll be a fun show. We haven't heard like hosting yet or anything.
Or
if they're having
hosts,
right? Or have we?
I think we have. I want to say it's Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, if we're going to get someone kind of boring, at least it's someone who knows how to like keep a time for a live show.
Does
he? At least you can move along, hopefully.
I have like zero memories of his other ones, which I guess for better and for worse, right? At least it was like so disastrous that I'm like,
ugh. It's not like James Franco and Anne Hathaway, but it's like, God. You know. But I guess it's like I think like when people that do live television for a living,
work
events like this and host them, I find that they know how to move it, which is good. If it's boring, at least it moves.
Well, and they have the experience that when things go wrong or things are different, you know what I mean? That things don't turn out the way they should, they can make it smoother, usually. Whereas an Anne Hathaway doesn't have that experience, you know?
Right. And I think it's like they know that it's not about them, per se.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think... we've met since the Globes happened, though, and not to talk about the Globes in particular.
Oh, we did, no?
Did yeah. we? No, we I think we. Yeah, I think we did it right before.
Oh, because it was on a Tuesday.
Yeah, and then we ended up having to reschedule. But I you know, not to rehash the Globes, but I will say, like, I actually enjoyed Jeron Carmichael's, you know.
Yeah,
just being like, all right, you got what you know who you hired, right? Like,
yeah, no, he was very true to himself. And when he started, it was a little, I was like, I was feeling like it was almost awkward and like there was like tension. And I was
it was very awkward.
But then as he kept going on, whatever, through the show, I was totally fine with him. And I thought, you know, there's no BS here. He's just kind of.
Oh, 100%. I just think his jokes were very accurate about them not knowing effectively what they signed up for.
Yeah. Well, like just being there to fill a quota, like, oh, we just need a black man to do it. And
yeah,
it's like, okay,
yeah.
You know.
So, and I feel like it probably made the Oscars producers be like, yeah, okay, we're fine with that. We went with Jimmy Kimmel or something. You know, it's just not that. Yeah. So yeah,
we'll play it safe.
Yeah. All right. Well.
Yeah.
Speaking of films that wanted an Oscar and certainly did not get nominated, we're very quickly going to talk about A Man Called Otto. Which did either of you see A Man Called Ove, which is the so it's a Swedish film. It's based on a Swedish film, which is based on a Swedish book.
Yes, and I have not seen that or read the book.
Okay, I have not either. But agreed. How did you two? How did you enjoy it? Man Called Otto. I'd like to point out, just for the crowd, we assigned this way before, and we just haven't gotten a chance to get to it. And there was like not a lot of things coming out in between, so we're just catching up on it.
I mean, it was about what I thought it was going to be. You know, mostly kind of boring. I don't know. Wasn't very invested, I guess.
Yeah, I was pretty anti the movie from the trailer. I was just like, this is just, you know, grumpy Tom Hanks. Okay, who cares? Mm-hmm. And so I actually liked it a lot more than I thought I was going to. I'm not like writing home about it like, oh, this is amazing. It made me cry, though. And which I cry in a lot of things.
I'm invested, though, which is something, you know.
The love story was really cute. I thought it was like watching Carl from Up, and it was just so sad. And the transgender guy talking about how his wife was the first to like insist on calling him his new name and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, oh my God, I cried in a few different spots, and the kitty and the implication that the cat was kind of like, kitty. Was like his, almost like his wife kind of there, like trying to get him to do things, whatever. That implication was just, I thought it was really sweet. And I was like, I did not expect this.
Okay. I found it emotionally attempting to be emotionally exploitative, because I was like, all of those scenarios are sad, and I think that's what gets people. That doesn't mean the actors brought anything to it in order to. I will exempt Mariana Trevino from it, who was the neighbor. She was great.
She was good.
But I think the situations were sadder than. They could have been good. And I actually kind of want to watch A Man Called Ove as a byproduct, because that was nominated for an Oscar for a foreign language film or international feature, whatever it was called at the time. And I was like, I think there's a good movie in here. Why did you have to make this with this? And why did you cast the man known as the least grumpy man in the world? Like, you cast America / the world's, like, dad, basically. You know?
Yeah, and what I saw the story. So, oh my God. Rita. Rita Wilson. I saw her talking about it, and she and Tom were watching A Man Called Ove.
Yeah,
and I guess they'd been wanting to do something together for years, whatever. They just hadn't really and she was like, and then she was like, oh my God, she was really enjoying it, and she was like, this is what we could do, and so they got the rights for it and did this. Like, this is very much like their love. They did this. And so he was going to be in it. You know what I mean? And
no, that's why I know, but I'm just
son
like,
was in it and all that, you know, but I agree with you. Like,
getting
if it
in
was
your own way. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that exactly. That's the thing, is you should know, maybe it's like, okay, if you want to option this and do it, then maybe there's better casting to do here. But I would be totally like, yeah, if it was just like a studio being like, we're going to make this. And then they cast Tom Hanks. That's what I thought when I watched the trailer. And I was like, I'm in the school of, I like Tom Hanks. I think Tom Hanks is a good actor, but I think Tom Hanks is always Tom Hanks. And he's always just kind of like, he's himself, just, oh, now he's happy, or now he's sad, or now he's whatever.
A wooden cowboy, and, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I always hear Woody all the time, and I like him, and I don't speak ill of him and everything, and I think he seems like a great guy. But yeah, I didn't. It kind of made me roll my eyes, especially in the trailer, just being like, oh, so now we get Tom Hanks grumpy.
Well, and it's,
we haven't seen that before.
It's also like, you know, because it's Tom Hanks in it, that he's never going to, like, not never, but the likelihood that he is going to, the journey he's going to go on, to me, I describe it as, it's like a lot shorter, right? Because we're like, we know where it's going to end.
Yeah.
No, because short, I've yet to see, I have not seen a movie with him in a long time that he, you know, I know Elvis, he plays the bad guy effectively, but like, it's a biopic and all this stuff. And, you know,
he was one of the bigger problems with it, though.
Yeah. He was one of the biggest problems with it. Yeah. No, Austin Brothers. Baz Luhrmann.
I know, but he was just it was just like, Tom, what are you doing? This is not.
Right. Yeah. So I thought that was just showed a lack of self-awareness of, you have built a career on this. It doesn't get unbuilt in a day.
Yeah. No, I agree. Whereas, like, you know, there are a sleuth of actors you probably could have gotten to do it better. But like, I even think of Breaking Bad.
Brian Cranston.
Brian Cranston. And I was just like, I was thinking like, he could do this really well, or he could like, bring something to it.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of like, and I'm like, I was thinking of him recently just because I just randomly started watching that show on Showtime called Your Honor that I'd never heard of that he's in. But anyway, but he, I was like, oh, he could have brought something to this that Tom's not really bringing to it. Because I will say, from the trailer, I also just didn't expect it to be, I thought it was just going to be mostly just kind of like comedy, really. Uh-huh. And I didn't expect it to be as dark as it was. And I liked the framing that it was like about this man who was literally just unsuccessfully trying to kill himself. And then find, and then all these circumstances being taking him out of it. Yeah. And it was kind of giving me, I hate the comparison because the film I'm about to mention is like leaps and bounds in filmmaking school better than this, but like it made me think of A Single Man and how it's following the last day of this man's life because of what is going to happen. And it's kind of just like showing all these different things that affect his emotions throughout that day. And you're kind of wanting him to get talked out of it. And it was like giving me a kind of similar journey, if you will, in a more hollow way.
It's like so one dimensional is what I felt like it ended up being. I was trying to remember because I was like, ah, oh, there was a movie I was trying to compare it to that I was like, I want to see Tom Hanks go on this character's journey. Matt, I know you saw it. Jackie, did you see Megan?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
Okay. Well, wait. I hope this, hear this. I caved and I saw Megan because I was just like, I can't. The FOMO of the cultural zeitgeist is.
You have to hit your horror quota for the year, and you hit it.
I also signed up for the M. Night Shyamalan movie, so we're gonna see how it could be. But it's. I hope this is not a huge spoiler. We'll call it like a malfunction or whatever. You know, she goes on this like dark, sadistic journey. I was like, I want to see Tom Hanks play Megan. Like, go on Megan's journey.
It's called Tom.
Yeah, with a zero, Tom. it was the worst pairing you could have. But I was also like,
to be fair, he has played a toy.
A living toy. Yes. You know? Yeah. So,
to be fair, I can see how you got there. You know?
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for bridging that gap for me that I was. Yeah. But either way.
A child's play thing, if you will. Yeah. No, it's.
Well, would either of you recommend it to anyone?
Oddly, I would if it was someone who I just knew liked Tom Hanks. Like, I know my dad likes him a lot, and I would say, oh, Dad, you should watch that, because my dad would like it. It's just easy.
Yeah, I think my dad would like it. So I would recommend it to someone like that.
Okay.
Yeah. I did genuinely think the love story was cute. I was like, aw. I was kind of into it. I didn't think that their son was, like, the greatest actor of all time.
That was my problem with it.
And I was then, like, okay.
And then after, it's funny because I sat through it and I was like, God, couldn't they have found, like, I know Tom Hanks is, like, a relatively distinct looking person, but he's also not. And it was like, could they not have found someone who looked more like him? And then the screening that had a Q&A and they, like, all came out and he was like, and it's our son. And I was like, oh. Okay. Well, like, because, you know, like, Colin Hanks looks like a clone of Chet Hanks. Yeah. We don't talk about Bruno or Chet.
No one talks about Chet.
And then there's this, like, bonus Hanks, who also apparently is, like, a cameraman. Like, he's in one of the unions or something. I was like, maybe we stick to the union, buddy. Like, maybe, you know.
Yeah, I mean, he could have been, he should have been better also, but he had a thing about him where I found him.
I did not see it. I was just like, what a terrible casting. Not terrible, but I was like.
No, I know you mean. It's good. But then when you get the nepotism, you're like, oh, I get it now.
I was like, well, it is hard to argue with. Like, he is literally the young him. Like,
yeah. No, it's true. But.
Yeah, right. All right. Yeah. Well. Moving on to something I'm much more excited. Speaking of my horror quota for this year is exceptionally high for where we're at. We watched The Last of Us, the first two episodes. Yes, everyone's caught up. Okay.
Yeah,
have either of you played the game?
No. Okay. I will go to the limits and say I actually did not realize what it was
based on
all.
A game. Okay.
I think it was based on a game.
But I never saw a trailer, and I mean I guess the name The Last of Us gave me a clue that it was going to be not happy, but I wasn't like, I didn't know. I had no idea this was a vague zombie story. At least, I didn't even know it was supposed to be horror.
Okay.
I truly did not either, actually. I didn't watch a trailer. I figured I would check it out because I hear people talking about it, but I was like, okay.
Because everyone was talking about it too. Yeah, exactly. I was like, all right, whatever.
Friends who really like the game, but I'm not a gamer, so it's really hard.
No, I know. That's why I was surprised. Okay, so actually, this is very exciting. So based on that, how are you two liking it?
I think it's good for what it is. I will file this in another formula that I'm not super keen on, and that is zombie apocalypse movies. I'm just not. Virus outbreaks, that kind of thing. My love for them is kind of limited to Resident Evil. And I, as whatever you want to say about those movies, and I'm talking the Mila ones, not even like the reboot or anything.
Sure.
Or the game. Never played the game.
I know.
But it's like I feel like if I'm going to be watching someone kill zombies, I need them with a chain and a lit up hallway doing parkour. Like,
and I need them to be Mila, period.
Kicking dogs in the face and stuff. Like, I need them to be Mila. Yeah. And I think it's good for what it is, but it's not thrilling me.
Okay.
I really like the characters and I like the way they're sort of world building. I really like the kind of feel of that, right? Because you're kind of, we don't know a lot because we only get kind of the perspective of people who have limited knowledge of what's going on. And I kind of love that sort of storytelling tactic. So kind of into that. I think it's a little bit, and this is of course coming from someone who's not a gamer, so please, I'm sorry, but I'm just not. It's a little video gamey. Like, you can just tell when they have cut scenes and you can tell, oh yay, we're at the museum level, we're at the, you know, like you can just tell it's a little bit too, I think, loyal to the video game. And I understand because it's got such a big following and I understand that, but it feels like, okay, we're going to get past this level and then we're going to get to a bigger bad and then we're going to, you know what I mean? Like, but it is, it's based on a video game. So it's really hard to complain about, but narratively, I would just think it would be more interesting if I didn't feel like, okay, now, you know, okay, we've made it to the museum level. Let's get to the end of the zombie fight. And then we can move on to the next sequence. And then we get a little story and then we move across and then we have another fight and then we get a little story and then we, you know what I mean? So it,
yeah, no, I absolutely do. It's funny because I think I'm the only one of us who has played the game, but I did not finish the game because one, scares the bejesus out of me. And two, I'm not good at video games and the easy mode on it is not easy. It is not an easy mode. And so I got stuck. This is hopefully not a huge spoiler. I got stuck in if you've played the game, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, you have no idea. But it's just like, I got stuck in this like weird convenience store where, you know, there's like things that are happening that I couldn't get out of. And so I just gave up because I was like, I can't beat this. But I really, really want to know how it ends. So I'm very excited because I'm like, cool, at some point, hopefully, you know, I will pass the point where
sequence.
And it's like, it's kind of like when I was watching Game of Thrones where I was like, cool, I have read the books up until there were no more books. So I'm like equally tense because it's an adaptation, but you are right. It's very ridiculously loyal, although there are already some changes to it. But I'm very excited that I don't have to keep dying in this convenience store in order to finish this stupid story.
Yeah. I will say that I really...
I had to.
Because that's what I would do in a zombie apocalypse. That's part of my thing. I'm always like, at what point do you just kill yourself? Because, like, what's the point? And even when the woman, the Mindhunter lady, like, I'm sad she went because I like her in Mindhunter.
I do.
Can't remember the actress's name.
Oh, it's funny. But I was going to go Fringe Lady.
Yeah, Fringe Lady, too. But when she decided to go, or was like, okay, I'm going to go out, I was like, she sits there and then she just like lets the thing like make out with her.
I know. Her I was thing. Like, why are you not fighting?
Like, spoiler, not in the game.
But if you're going to blow yourself up, just do it at that point. Like, why are you going to let him do that to you? Like, why put yourself through anything?
I think they were trying to say that there's some sort of spore. Like, okay, so I also kind of got hung up on that because I thought it was very slow and very weird that she was just standing there and while she was trying to do the thing. But I think there's something about it that's magnetic, no? Like
that's what I was taking away from it, that like it kicked in. And because they are like a hive effectively, right? So it's
and
like,
and since
cool.
she had it in her, maybe something
Activated or something.
That's what I that, think it means, but I also...
So she was trying to do it, but she couldn't because it was like she was...
Because it was like, it noticed her, right? It was like active. That's what I interpreted from it, but again...
I could totally accept that. I just was like, I'm just thinking like, you dumbass, just do it.
I just couldn't believe, why not just like, when the lighter first stops working, right, and you're still, and you're whatever, just like lean over and grab one of the, like 10, what are they called, the grenades that she dropped on the floor like 2 minutes earlier.
I don't think she's thinking at that point. I think she's, the stress of the scenario. Clearly, yeah.
That's why I'm an obnoxious action movie watcher.
I am optimistic, though, for the show because, again, and maybe this is in the part of the game that I didn't get to, but I think the whole prologue moment in the second episode where they're, like, examining the body and all this stuff and this, you know, doctor is involved and all these things, I was like, oh, that's not – I don't recall that from the game, but it's quite possible it's in there.
Loved her.
Yeah, but she's, I was like, cool, so they are going – they're fleshing out this world. Like,
Yeah, and I will say this – level or episode or whatever looked very it gave me some Annihilation vibes, and I liked that because it's pretty. It was like
I loved the makeup. I was obsessed with obviously the character designs from probably the video game, but I think that they made it come to life really coolly
for which of them,
the ones with the
those are straight up from the game. Yeah, those are very well translated.
But the mushroom faces, I thought they did the makeup. They did a very, very good job.
Yeah, horrifying. See, this is why I couldn't play this game. I can't watch it night of. I have to watch it like the day after, during the day.
I literally was trying to get more scared because it wasn't like, the problem is like knowing it's a video game, the suspense is sort of not there for me because I know something is going to pop out.
That's fair.
That makes sense.
Yes, it does. But I feel like that's every zombie show as well, right? Yeah. Like it's a double whammy in this scenario.
But so I was like turning off all the lights and watching it late and trying to get like more horror out of it.
Even though I played that sequence through, I had to turn off the sound at one point where I was just like, nope. Just, I know how this is going to end, but I am not doing this to myself.
I think that's also part of my zombie thing too, is I never really find it very scary. Like if it was really happening, sure. Mm-hmm. But I never really find zombie things scary. And so they end up going into this kind of action-y kind of category for me, or like thriller in a way that like, but and then it's just they have a gross out stuff in them too, which I don't always love, which I'm okay with gore and all that, whatever, all that stuff, of course, in my horror, but it goes to a place of just like, just decaying things that are just gross and stuff. And like, I don't know. I like my undead to be hot, personally. And
you didn't find the mushroom faces hot?
I don't find mindless beings all that scary for some reason. I'm like Matt. I would just give up and become a zombie. Like, I don't want to live in that kind of world where I have to fight and scrape and like put bodies in the furnace in order to get more rations to survive. Like that doesn't sound worth it to me. So for me, I'd rather just have died with everyone else. So I guess that's why it's not as compelling to me. Cause like I wouldn't want to survive. So I don't really relate to them very well.
That's fair.
Are either of you finding Bella Ramsey annoying, or it's just me? Is that the character?
That's very funny.
Everyone says it's perfect casting, and I did find her kind of annoying. I really liked the first daughter better, that one that died in the first episode.
Well, that's because this isn't his daughter, but...
Well, you know, I mean.
No, I know exactly what you mean. So I think the thing that I will say, and again, not having finished the game and having to rely on it, but the things I did like about it is that as far as stories go, the story of The Last of Us is really good. And so character, like not, it's not always the case in a video game that like characters go on arcs in the game. And so I do have faith that this character will go on an arc in the game and they will follow the arcs that these characters go on. And so, yes, you are supposed to be very annoyed, I think, by her in the beginning.
Oh, okay. That's good then, because I think she's a great actress.
It was scary because did you all watch Catherine Called Birdie on Amazon Prime? Yeah, I did not like that movie. And it made me very concerned about this casting scenario.
Yeah. Well, and I think in this character, I just thought, I don't know, every time she like cusses, she drops the F-bomb and stuff, I just think it sounds so forced. And it takes me out in a way where I'm like, it makes me feel like she's not good in the role. But if she is,
at the same time, she's
I'm
just
willing to accept that.
I should issue a Bella Ramsey uses they, them pronouns now.
Oh, do they? I did not know that.
Yes, I think it was a very recent announcement.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Well, yeah, that's great.
Yes, but the character is a she, her. So, you know,
sure.
I think the character is a young child pretending to be tough. And so maybe that's kind of what the angle she's going for. But I did find it annoying. And I was hoping that this isn't like.
Yeah.
But I think she was even showed some growth in the episode because she did not want to leave. You know, what's her name? The one that died.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember her. But
I don't remember her character.
Oh, Anna Torv's the actress's name.
Yeah.
Mindhunter.
And so she didn't want to leave her. And before that, she kind of didn't care about anyone and only wanted to, like, you know, save herself. So she's got a little more heart than she was showing earlier.
The character of Ellie has a journey. I think they all have a journey. And then I've heard The Last of Us Part 2, which is the second game, is even better. So I'm like, no. I definitely know I'm not making it to that game because I'm so bad at it. But I know that the show has places to go and there are stakes, which I think is anything where there's a franchise like this. You're like, okay, well, you know, I think I'm the only one who plays God of War. I was like, well, you're never going to kill off Kratos. You're never going to do this with this person. So like, what's the point? But, you know, this was unlike something like Walking Dead, right? Where it's like, cool. Yeah. Like, yeah, at a certain point, we just stopped.
Well, that was my thing. That's what I was going to say is I hope that The Last of Us has an end goal, which is part of what was able to make me get through all of Resident Evil. The movies, even as bad as they got toward the end, I feel it was like I was able to at least stay somewhat invested because I knew it was going somewhere where it was trying to have an ending. Mm-hmm. And that was always my thing with The Walking Dead. I watched the first season of that. I had read some of the comics prior, but I couldn't get very into it. I thought it was well made. I thought the comics were well done, but I heard that creator of those comics say that there was no end goal in sight when someone was like, do you know how this ends? And he was like, no. And I was like, what's the point then? Like, what are we working toward? We're just running away from these things into nothing. And then I'm like, I can't get invested.
I don't know how or why of all the group of us that I stayed with that show for a very long time. And then finally, at some point, there was something finally happened. And I was like, I'm done. I don't need this end.
Yeah, Harley agrees. She was like, that's
it. Yeah, although now, see, but that tells me how much on edge I am right now just talking about the show because I'm so stressed out by zombie things. And I was like, oh, yeah, I did.
Well, so far, no zombie dogs in this show.
Well,
we don't know.
Yes.
We don't know yet. I don't know.
But there are characters coming.
Oh my God. We could get like zombie mushroom dogs.
I don't know if those are a thing in it, but who knows?
I hope that there's not like zombie mushroom spiders.
I don't think so. I think it was pretty limited to human infection. Okay, but don't you know, quote me on that.
Well, obviously I know that you didn't play the whole game, so.
Yeah, right. Let's make it very clear. I am coming with such a watch me not. I keep thinking, I'm like, yeah, I made it like 50 or 60%. Watch it be like, you made it like 10% into the game. You're an idiot. Like, you just tapped out so early. You gave up.
I have a Star Wars game where I swear I've played it so long and I try and I've gotten places and it says I'm 1%.
Oh my God.
Shocked.
But so is it, sometimes games are like, oh, like story completion, like 60%, actual game collectible, whatever-ness, like 1%.
Yeah, I don't know. It just, on the PlayStation, it just says percentage complete.
Well, 1%. You may not have.
Yeah.
But the sequels are coming out, I think.
Hours of my time have gone into it. Well, no, it's not the one with Cal Kestis. I can't get to that either, but I'm further than that. But this is, you're a pilot, and I can't remember what it's called.
Oh.
But you're flying around doing these missions, and you use different ships and stuff. And it's cool, but it's really hard for me. But I have gotten past several levels, and I'm 1%.
Well, that's, again, I'm too lazy to reinstall The Last of Us, and I will not. And it is truly a miracle that I've not Googled it, because I think I was like, oh, I'll just come back to it someday. It has been 3 years.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you never knew before this, you didn't know they were going to ever make a show of it, right? So it's
right.
Like, you could have easily done that at some point.
Yeah, but I'm excited for, one, to finally complete the story. And two, there are a couple characters, like, emotionally, who I'm interested to see if the two of you grasp more onto in terms of, like, just expanding the world, like more the stories that we all care a little bit more about.
Yeah, is it? It's true, right? That you could play online with people, and you can have like that's 6 or 7 or 8 people playing together in this game, right? Like
I don't
on
think
missions.
So there might be a mode for that, but I don't think so because like
are you playing?
You as play Pedro? as Pedro.
Okay. Because I was wondering if you did. I thought I read somewhere that you can play this like multi thing on missions, and I was like, well, then who are the other people? But maybe everyone's Pedro, but that probably isn't the thing.
Oh well, actually. There's a multiplayer game announced or in development or something.
Oh, okay. So maybe they're going to be expanding it.
Yeah. I don't think there's any info about this. So
but that tells me that there's no story completion yet. So this better not be a Game of Thrones situation where the ending
has not
been
written. I
mean,
it could be. It very much could be. But again, the tidbits I saw so much about the second game. That's what made me go get the first one because it was like apparently the story was so good and I was like people were so invested they weren't like oh my god the gameplay is this and that they're like oh my god I can't believe this happened to these characters blah 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 I was like I think I just have to play this and then I failed
yeah anyway. No I feel that I've done that before I one time bought a game I think it was the Shadow of Mordor
oh my god I'm so bad at that game I gave up so
well hard. I bought it years ago and I bought it for my friend to play it.
Yeah.
So that I could watch the stories.
The story,
and
yeah.
And she did, and I watched them, and I liked it.
Well, I
was like, I just know this is out of my realm of capability, but
no,
I would like to know these stories.
I kept dying.
And that's why I'm a little bit excited about this TV show, and hopefully, because, you know, there's a lot of games that a lot of people talk about and love, and I just don't have the patience to get good at video games. So every time... You know, I download one and I can't remember what it's called, but it's got like a character named Shep or something in it. And like Mass Effect, everyone talks about it forever.
Oh,
everyone loves Mass Effect. It's so, yes. And the story is so good. And then like all this stuff. And so I tried to play it and I am just bad at video games. And so I don't have fun because to me, it's not fun to like fail 100 times to try to get the stupid story.
Welcome to me in the convenience store.
Yeah. And so for me, like, I am excited that we're going to start seeing some adaptations of these stories that are so beloved that maybe I can kind of be more, you know, get to see what everyone is talking about. Yeah.
That's really interesting, though, because a game like Mass Effect, to me, the appeal of it is that very clearly there's a lot of like decision trees. And so when you play as Shepard, or I think it's Commander Shepard, you get to decide a lot of things, and it changes your ending every time. And so it's like, cool, that I'm impacting the story versus The Last of Us, where it's like the story is set out and you are revealing it as you go along. And yes, to your point about the show as well, it's like, yeah, I have to get through the zombies to get through the next cutscene. But I was like, I want to know what happens in the next cutscene. But yeah, that's interesting. I think that's why you don't see adaptations of things like Mass Effect, or that company has another game called Dragon Age, which is effectively like very similar in that there's this really long, compelling story and there is a big meta story, but like your decisions of it get to impact it through multiple games, which is really fun. Anyway, this is a long-winded way of saying
it. I have to stick to Mario Kart. That's where I exceed.
Oh, I'm so mad.
That's what my goal is, you know.
Yeah.
Mario Kart is about as good as I get at anything, you know?
That's totally fair. That's totally fair.
I even really tried to get into, it's got Link, Zelda.
I tried that.
I couldn't even get past the first level. I didn't even understand what was going on. That's how bad it was. I just kept falling off the stupid tower and I was just so annoyed. And I'm sorry.
I don't even think I got to the first level. I was like wandering around and I talked to this like old man.
I know. And then you get up this, and like I figured out you have to get up this tower or something. And then I just kept falling off because of, I don't know.
Legend of Zelda, like the N64 one?
No, there's a Switch one where it's like
And it was like wind or something.
Yeah. Maybe further than you, Jackie, but I will tell you both, just spoiler alert. You talk to this old man, you're trying to get out of this area you're in to get to like the actual like
gameplay.
Yeah. And you have to like you have to go get this thing for him, and he's like, and then I'll give you a hang glider or something to get out,
and you're like, and no, I'm gonna use gravity.
You get this thing for him and then he lied to you. And
wow,
then
spoilers.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
And then I was like, and then I went running back to try to go home because I was mad or whatever, and I kept getting killed by these trees. And I was like, I'm not playing this game. This is too much. And so I've never played it again.
I've not played that Zelda. I was so bad at the original, like, not the original, but the N64 one. And I even had the Prima's official strategy guide. Couldn't do it. I just don't have the coordination to play games that require like dungeons and things like that.
Yeah. Much.
You, oh, Breath of the Wild. Everyone says Breath of the Wild. That's, I think, the one.
That's the one.
It's amazing.
And so you stopped in this tower, and then I was just dying because I couldn't even get down out of the tower to talk to the old man. That's how bad it was. Like, that's how bad I'm at these games. And they just expect you to know how to do. I don't get it.
It's, yeah, I was playing this game called God of War Ragnarok over the holidays, and you know, I was home, and my mom was like, I was playing on the family TV, and so people would like wander in and out, and I'd be like, please don't unplug the PlayStation. And I'm very bad at it. I still enjoy it because I also think it has a fun story and all that stuff. But my mom finally, like, she doesn't usually pay attention. She's like, did you die again? Like, did you die again? I was like, yes. And then I think my favorite / worst moment was I finally beat this boss. I was screaming, and she like sat on a TV remote. And so it changed the input. And I was like, if I didn't, I'd spent probably a good 30 or 40 minutes just dying over and over trying to defeat this boss. Thankfully, it managed to like make it through. But I was like,
oh, God.
Yeah, I'm bad at video games. Anyway, it sounds like we're all spectacular at video games. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But it sounds we'll also still be watching The Last of Us going forward, at least for a while.
Yeah. I'm going to check out the next episode. I think the hype alone is going to keep me kind of on board for a little bit to kind of like, okay, because I do want to know,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, and I want to know, have an opinion and not get spoiled. Yeah. Yeah.
But if people were not talking about it and like I wasn't hearing about it all the time, I probably would forget to watch it. That's where I'm kind of at.
Yeah, somebody on my team they messaged me and they're like, get out of here, people are talking about fungal infections. And I was like, who, first of all, who, which I don't know who did, but I was like, are they talking, because it was the day after The Last of Us. I was like, do they have fungal infections or are they talking about the show? I need to know which of these scenarios it is. I still don't know which it is, but I was like, there's a small possibility.
Never come back, or is it like a episode 2 I can come back?
Right. Yeah. So I was like deeply upset. But the fact that The Last of Us is out there, I was like, is that what it was? You know, and now I will have to live with the fear. Yeah. But in addition to that, and all the video games we're clearly very good at, we're watching what? Are we watching anything else right now?
I was gone for a while, so I haven't seen a lot.
Yeah, nothing. None of us watched it.
I'm watching so many things is the thing. But I saw a movie that, Dana, you will not watch.
Was it Megan?
You probably saw a trailer for it on Megan. It's called Skinamarink.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't know anything about it, and I have no interest in it.
It is. I was enraged coming out of this movie. And I don't like to ever be like, oh, it was terrible, I hate this, whatever. But like, it was not even a movie. It wasn't even a film.
Oh,
I don't.
Wow.
I can't even describe. Like, the trailer you saw was about as coherent as the film.
I didn't see the trailer because I thought I'd be too scared.
Oh, okay. I know somebody else who saw it.
And I was just like, the fact that this particular person saw it, I was like, this is not a Dana movie. Okay.
Yeah, it was bizarre. Most of it was just compilation of just like shots of ceilings and walls and things. It was like for 2 hours and you're just like, oh my God. And I felt held hostage.
Okay.
So anyway, I don't recommend that. I started watching that show I was saying you called Your Honor with Bryan Cranston, and it's I'm really liking it. I don't know. I'd never heard of it. It's on Showtime, and so season 1 had already happened and season 2 just started, I guess. But I'm into it, you know. Kind of got like a little bit of like a Defending Jacob vibe, which you know how I love that show. So I was like, okay.
You sure do.
It kind of feels like that with some Breaking Bad vibes, with some just, I don't know. I was just like, okay, I'm into this. Watching that. I learned that on Showtime also that the L Word Generation Q came back already. And like, I think I'm the only person who watches that out of anyone.
I think so. But
interesting. But I was like, oh, cool. There's a whole season for me to watch. So I was like, okay, so I started that.
I've been watching the New York Bling Empire. Mm-hmm. Bling, whatever. I just started it though. So, and I finished The Circle. I got up to date with Below Deck, which is very sad for me. So lately I've been watching, I don't know if you saw in the news, there was like kind of a piece about Edward Norton being related to Pocahontas because of this, PBS show that does genealogy for celebrities, basically.
Oh, yeah, I know you.
And so I found that show. So I've been watching a bunch of those because I love a history thing. Okay. Yeah.
I pitched a show like that one time.
I would have really liked to have been on a show like that.
My idea, yeah. Mm-hmm. My idea was like a thing where we all have like, I think when we were talking about The Pale Blue Eye, I was saying how like my mom says we're related to Edgar Allan Poe.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people have things like that where like there's this just like, oh, well, apparently I'm, blah, 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 whatever. And I was like, you can only, of course, go so far with it because you have to be able to actually prove these things. But I thought it'd be like fun to like, watch the journey of like trying to figure out whether it's true or not.
And so they do that. Well, it's only celebrities though, really, on the show, but they do a more wide range of celebrities than Who Do You Think You Are. So there's like scientists and like, you know, people are just like charged, you know, high in their field. So that was interesting. And he always likes a family story that he can either debunk or prove or whatever. And Edward Norton's family always said they were related to Pocahontas, but he never believed it. And it turns out it is true.
Oh, okay. It's a very weird, specific tie for him. But I also watched all of Bling Empire New York in a single day. Yeah, single day. No, maybe it was spread over 2 days, but it was like 24 hours effectively. I'm caught up on Below Deck. There's just a bunch of trashy stuff back. Megan was the big movie I watched. I watched The Sun with Hugh Jackman, which I think at this point we'll probably skip. Yeah, it's been an odd week, certainly. Yeah. Mostly like escaping through reality TV stuff and not watching a ton of movies yet. But it's gonna ramp up. It's happening.
Yep. Things are happening.
Things are happening. Cool. Well, thank you both.
Thank you.
Hi.
Thank you, as per usual, to Jackie and Matt, and that is actually it for this episode. If you liked it, we would love it if you could leave us a rating or a 5-star review or even consider subscribing.